Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
John chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath, it is not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Then they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. For this reason the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son, and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice, and come forth, those who have done good, to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me, and the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another, and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?
Lesson 73, Jesus Heals at Bethesda. In our last lesson, we saw how Jesus was willing to share the good news with the Samaritan people, and today we shall see how Jesus' healing of a lame man on the Sabbath causes controversy with the Jews. We shall see how Jesus defends himself by the witness of his works, John, and the Father in heaven. When Jesus was at a feast in Jerusalem, he came to the pool of Bethesda. Many sick people always were waiting by this pool for a miraculous stirring of the water by an angel. When someone entered the pool immediately after the stirring, they would be healed. It was merciful of God to provide this place of healing, giving hope to those who were suffering. One man, however, was lame and had no one to help him into the water when it was stirred, and had been lame for 38 years. He waited patiently for years, hoping and praying that he might have his chance to be healed. But it did not come until the day that Jesus came to meet him. When Jesus saw him, he asked him if he wanted to be healed, and the man said that he had no one to help him into the pool. Jesus simply told the man to take up his bed and walk, and miraculously he was healed, stood up, collected his mat, and went his way. This miracle was another great sign given in the Gospel of John to reveal to us who Jesus really is. We might expect that everyone would be praising God because of this wonderful miracle, but unfortunately some of the Jews contended with the man because they saw him carrying his mat on the Sabbath day. Jesus had healed the man on the Sabbath, and though this man could not yet identify who Jesus was, the Jews were upset by seeing him carrying his mat. These people could not appreciate a great work had been performed by the same God who had given instruction concerning the Sabbath. If they had just considered the mighty and glorious compassion of God for this man, they would rejoice with him rather than try to condemn him. When Jesus later found the healed man, he warned him not to sin anymore unless some worse thing happens to him. When the healed man learned that Jesus was the man who healed him, he made it known to the Jews, and they persecuted Jesus and wanted to kill him. Jesus confronted these angry Jews and said that he must work while his Father was working, and this made them all the more angry, for they perceived that Jesus was making himself equal with God. To defend himself, Jesus tells them that he does the same works as the Father does, raising the dead and judging. He also said that to honor the Son was to honor the Father, and those who refused to honor the Son were dishonoring the Father. Jesus certainly does not back down before his opponents or try to water down the issue for which they were so angry. Jesus makes it very plain that their perceptions of his claims were quite right, for he was indeed equal with the Father, as testified by his works. Jesus adds the message of the gospel into this discussion, telling them that whoever hears him and believes in him who sent him has eternal life and will not come into condemnation. Here at John 5:24, we have a very important verse for our understanding of the gospel message. Again, we see it is through faith that a person is saved, that God grants them eternal life as a present possession, and that the true believer in Christ shall never come under condemnation. This verse should help us to realize that when God saves a soul, it is forever. Those who teach that a person can lose their salvation are not teaching correctly and are going against what Jesus clearly said here. Jesus also points out that one day the dead will rise at his command, some to eternal life and some to eternal condemnation. He could not have been more clear by claiming to possess God's power to raise the dead, which testifies to his being equal with God. While these angry Jews did not accept Jesus or believe his words, Jesus said that they were without excuse, for it was not simply that he gave his own testimony, but he had the testimony of all his works, such as the lame man healed. He had the testimony of John the Baptist, who was recognized as God's prophet, and most importantly had the testimony of the Father that could be known through the Scriptures. The Bible teaches us that a man's testimony of himself is not enough, but there should be two or three witnesses, and so Jesus is glad to provide his witnesses to this unbelieving people so that they can accept and believe in him. Jesus pointed out that Moses was a witness of himself as well, for he had written about the coming Messiah. These Jews had their confidence in the Scriptures, thinking it was by the Scriptures that they possessed eternal life, and yet they did not believe Moses, for Moses had spoken of Jesus, and they had rejected Jesus when he was presented to them. Jesus recognizes that these men did not have the love of God in them, for they preferred the honor of men rather than the honor of God. He told them that he would not judge them, but Moses, in whom they trusted, would be their judge, even though they did not really believe Moses' testimony about Christ. Today we saw how Jesus healing a man on the Sabbath brought a hostile reaction from the Jews, who were only concerned about observing the law given by Moses and not compassionate about his suffering. Jesus shows us that true religion is not found in strict observance of rules, but in a heart of love and compassion for others. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death into life. John chapter 5, verse 24.
Amazing grace. Thank you.
now for today's Bible question. Today we saw how Jesus in compassion healed a man who had been lame for 38 years, but the Jews were angry that the man was healed on the Sabbath day. It is hard to imagine how God-fearing men could so blindly align themselves in opposition to the kindness and mercy of God. Jesus defended himself against these men and showed them the way to eternal life. Someone might ask the question, is the law of the Sabbath rest still in effect today? The Jews were angry with the lame man for carrying his mat on the Sabbath day, which they felt was violating the fourth commandment given to Moses on the mountain by God. God had said at that time, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. Some people today believe the Sabbath is still God's commandment for all Christians and should be observed, and therefore they do not work on Saturday and reserve Saturday as their day of worship. While we respect their zeal to observe God's law, it can be clearly shown that this is a misunderstanding of Scripture and has been used to distort the gospel message. We must remember that the Christian is no longer under the law. What this means is that the law is not binding upon the Christian in a covenantal sense. The Jews had to keep the law or they would be cursed by God and suffer his judgments. The Christian, on the other hand, enters into the new covenant by faith and is not condemned because Jesus bore the penalty of the law for us. Now we fulfill the righteousness of the law, not to prevent God's judgment, but because we love God for taking the judgment away from us. While we are not under the law, we certainly appreciate the righteous standards of God and seek to fulfill the righteousness of the law to please and honor our God. Of all the Ten Commandments, you will find that 9 of them are repeated in the New Testament. All can be found in one form or another in the book of Ephesians, with the exception of the Sabbath day law. The commandments of the New Testament do not come with the condition that when we fail to obey them, we will be cursed. The Holy Spirit instructs the believer to do what is right in order to honor and please God from the motive of love and not duty to law. So where once a sinner may have been a thief and has now become a Christian, the Bible says he should steal no more, but rather work with his hands to give to others in need. The Christian who wants to please God will heed this instruction because God has saved him from judgment and his heart has been renewed so that he wants to give rather than take, to love rather than to hate. So the law is at work in the heart of the believer, and instructions are given for him to fulfill God's righteousness found in the law, with the exception of the Sabbath day. This was the only commandment given to the nation of Israel that had no intrinsic moral distinction, except that God had commanded it for them. We must remember that the law was given to the nation of Israel, and that the Sabbath was given to them as a sign of the covenant that God had made with this particular nation. We find information about this at Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 12 to 20. It was a good law designed to test Israel's obedience and to make Israel recognize the sanctifying work of God. While it is good for Christians to always set aside time to worship the Lord, and also it is a good principle to take time apart to rest, it is not the commandment of Jesus to do so. Also, we find no instruction in the New Testament to observe the Sabbath. In fact, the New Testament writers, foreseeing this as an issue that could arise with Gentiles being added to the body of Christ, wrote that no man should judge another concerning feast days or Sabbath days, Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. This means that Christians have perfect liberty to worship on any day they wish, and they are not bound by Sabbath laws or the Old Covenant. Now, if some Christians wish to worship God on Saturday, that is acceptable, but they are wrong if they enforce this as law upon others, which God has not enforced upon Christians. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament Church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948. Or, if you have access to the Internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. Jesus saw me with a stranger, if you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life. If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation, or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
Just want to